Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 2, Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons, Text 40. Pati Chutam Tishtati Tishta Rakshitam Grahe Stitam Tad Vihatam Vinashyati Jivati Anato Api Tad Ikshito Vane Grihe Abhigupto Asya Hato Na Jivati Pati Chutam Tishtati Tishta Rakshitam Grihastitam tad vihatam vinashyati. Jivatyanato pitad ikshito vane. Grihabigupto syahato na jivati. Patichutam tishtati dishtarakshitam. Grihasti tam tad vihatam vinashyati. Jivatyanato pi tad ikshito vane. Grihabi guptos yahato na jivati. Patichutam tishtati dishtirakshitam. Grihastitam tad vihitam vinashyati. Jivatyanato pi tad ikshito vane. Grihabigupto syahato na jivati. Vaishnavis,
Patichutam Tishtati Tishtarakshitam.
Pati, on the public road. Chutam, some possession dropped. Tishtati, it remains. Dishtarakshitam, protected by destiny. Grihe, at home. Stitam, although situated. Tadvihitam, struck by the will of the Supreme. Vinashyati, it is lost. Jivati, remains alive. Anatta api, although without a protector. Tat ikshitaha, being protected by the Lord. Vane, in the forest. Grihe, at home. Abhiguptaha, well hidden and protected. Asya, of this one. Hataha, struck. Na, not. Jivati, lives. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes one loses his money on a public street where everyone can see it, and yet his money is protected by destiny and not seen by others. Thus the man who lost it gets it back. On the other hand, if the Lord does not give protection, even money maintained very securely at home is lost. If the Supreme Lord gives one protection, even though one has no protector and is in the jungle, one remains alive. Whereas a person well protected at home by relatives and others sometimes dies, no one being able to protect him. Purport. These are examples of the supremacy of the Lord. Our plans to protect or annihilate do not act, but whatever He, the Lord, thinks of doing actually happens. The examples given in this regard are practical. Everyone has had such practical experiences, and there are also many other clear examples. For instance, Prahlad Maharaj said that a child is certainly dependent on his father and mother. But in spite of their presence, the child is harassed in many ways. Sometimes, in spite of a supply of good medicine and an experienced physician, a patient does not survive. Therefore, since everything is dependent on the free will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, our only duty is to surrender unto Him and seek His protection. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurad Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the verse again, sometimes one loses his money on a public street where everyone can see it, and yet his money is protected by destiny and not seen by others. Thus the man who lost it gets it back. On the other hand, if the Lord does not give protection, even money maintained very securely at home is lost. If the Supreme Lord gives one protection, even though one has no protector and is in the jungle, one remains alive, whereas a person well protected at home by relatives and others sometimes dies, no one being able to protect him. So, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, the examples given in this regard are practical. Everyone has such practical experiences, and there are many other clear examples. I just recently, I was in England. I was giving a lecture at a conference in Glastonbury, England. It's a nice little town. You know, it's got a high street where, you know, they have all the shops and things. So I went into a cafe to get some herbal tea to drink. And I had my computer bag with me, and I sat down at my table and I put the computer bag down, and then I finished my glass or my cup of chamomile tea, and then I got up to pay my bill and leave, and I left the computer bag there. And I asked, is there a toilet? And I went back to the toilet. And when I was in the toilet, I remembered I left my computer bag out in a crowded shop, tea shop, with all kinds of people, including street people, wandering in and out. So, you know, I was thinking, okay, that's it. I went out and it was still there, even though it was in a public place, you know, visible to everyone. Anyone could have picked it up. And yeah, so Srila Prabhupada says here, the examples given in this regard are practical. Everyone has had such practical experiences, and you've probably also had such experiences in big ways or small ways, how things are up to Krishna, ultimately. So, there's a saying, a Bengali saying, that Srila Prabhupada often repeats. Krishna rake mare ke, mare Krishna rake ke. Means whoever Krishna wants to kill, nobody can protect him. And whoever Krishna wants to protect, no one can kill such a person. Doesn't the temple bhajan band have a song like that? One of your albums. So, in that regard, you know, Srila Prabhupada mentions an incident from Ramayana, and he says, he explains how Ravana was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. So when Ravana was being attacked by Lord Ram, he prayed to Shiva to protect him. And Shiva didn't protect him. And Parvati noticed this, you know, Lord Shiva's consort, and said, Srila Prabhupada explains, Parvati said to Lord Shiva, what is this? You know, this Ravana, he's your great devotee. He's been serving you for ages. He's performed incredible austerities for you, and he's asking for your protection. You're not doing anything. And Shiva said, well, there's nothing I can do. Ram wants to kill him. Ram's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So according to Srila Prabhupada, Parvati said, oh, if you won't do anything, I'll protect him. But she wasn't able to protect him either. And so, Mare Krishna Rake K. If Krishna wants to kill somebody, then nobody can protect, you know, such a person. So we all may have plans to protect ourselves and secure our happiness in various ways. We may be trying to secure our health, and you know, we make all good arrangements to try to do that. Or we may make all good arrangements to ensure our financial security. And, or we may make all arrangements to secure our happiness and personal relationships. You know, I have a nice relationship with this person or that person, and we may make arrangements for our position in society. Yes, I have a nice relationship with the president or the mayor or the president of the company, and yeah, I've got my position and it's secure. But then there's so many incidents we can all reflect upon in our own lives and in the lives of others where those plans are not always successful in the way that we'd like them to be. You know, the relationship doesn't last, the financial security dissolves into thin air, the position that we thought we had vanishes. So that indicates, you know, the lesson that's here, part of the lesson, which is, even though we may make plans for personal happiness, financial security, a good post or position for ourselves, you know, some good service or good occupation and good health, the plans aren't always successful. And then there's also the other side, which is mentioned in the verse, that sometimes we get unexpected benedictions that we just don't expect at all. You know, like, you know, the examples given sometimes, you know, the example that's given in the verse is, you know, sometimes even if one is in the jungle and not protected at all, one is protected somehow. Whereas a person who's safely protected at home can suddenly die in some unexpected way. So this means that ultimately things depend on the will, as Srila Prabhupada says, the free will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what can one do in that circumstance? All one can really do is serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead to the best of one's ability and then accept whatever happens as Krishna's mercy upon one. Tatenu kampam susamikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam tadvagvapubir vididan namaste jiveta yo mukti pade sadaya bak. So in that verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, it said that one should just carry out one's duties in Krishna consciousness with mind, body, words, and expect Krishna's mercy without trying to define exactly how that mercy is going to be delivered. But just expect that if I serve Krishna constantly with body, mind, and words, then I will become the recipient of Krishna's mercy. And it may not come in exactly the way that we expect. So, in this verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it said, if one adopts that attitude, then one becomes Daya Bhak, the inheritor. You know, sometimes, you know, people, they suddenly get an inheritance from a relative. So, if one adopts this attitude, then one becomes Daya Bhak. One becomes the object of Krishna's mercy. Sarva Dharma Pritya Ja Mamikam Sharadavaja Aham Tvam Sarva Papapyo Mokshiyashami Masujaha. Krishna says, if one surrenders to him, he will protect such a devotee. Now, how that protection comes may not be so easy to understand from, you know, superficial point of view. You know, Krishna may take something from us and we think, I needed that. But maybe Krishna saw that we were becoming attached to something in the wrong way, be it, you know, money or position or some person or relationship. So, of course, another way to look at the difficult situations that one may go in is that punjana evatmi kritam vipakam, that the difficulties one is experiencing are the results of one's own impious activities. And generally the devotee thinks, well, Krishna is giving me reduced reactions, less than what I really deserve. So that's also part of the mentality of a devotee, to serve Krishna with body, mind, and words, with faith, expecting Krishna's mercy, and also expecting that one is going to get some minimized reaction from one's own karma, one's own previous activities from this life or some previous life. Now, I was reading one conversation where, you know, Srila Prabhupada was saying, yeah, we try to make so many arrangements to prevent different things from happening. He said, yeah, we, for our health, we take antibodies, antiseptics, anti-this, anti-that. But he said, all of your antis aren't going to work unless Krishna allows it. Because Krishna is the ultimate deciding factor. Ishvara Parama Krishna. Krishna is the ultimate controller. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't do our duties in a responsible way and take all precautions and make all good arrangements for our service, our relationships, our position in the society of devotees, and so on and so forth. But ultimately, the result is up to Krishna. It's like, and that faith in Krishna is like an insurance policy. You know, people, if they like to buy health insurance or life insurance or fire insurance, travel insurance, that in case something happens, that insurance is there. So that faith in Krishna is the insurance policy of the devotee, that, you know, if something does go wrong, then, you know, Krishna says, Name Bhaktya Vinashyati, my devotee never perishes. He promises that to Arjuna. Or actually, he tells Arjuna to declare it. Kauntiya Prachajanahi Name Bhaktya Pranashyati. Says, O Arjuna, O son of Kunti, please declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. And Krishna did that because he guarantees the words of his devotees. So he wanted Arjuna to declare it rather than just declaring it himself. So I was trying to figure out where we are in terms of, the Srimad Bhagavatam in this chapter, because there are conversations within conversations within conversations, and sometimes it's not easy to figure out where a particular section of the Bhagavatam is in terms of that. From what I can tell, the base conversation is a conversation between Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit is asking questions of Shukadeva Goswami. And one of his questions had to do with why the soul of Shishupal, who was a very impious person, merged into the body of Krishna at the Rajasuya sacrifice. So, in order to answer that question, Shukadeva Goswami started telling about a conversation between Yudhisthira Maharaj and Narada Muni, because it was actually Yudhisthira who had asked that same question to Narada Muni. So then, to explain to King Yudhisthira what the reason was for this, Narada Muni began explaining the backstory, the story of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, and how they had originally been Jai and Vijay, the gatekeepers of Vaikuntha, and they had to come to from the spiritual world to the material world and take birth as demons. And their first birth was as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, brothers, sons of Diti. And Vishnu had killed Hiranyaksha. So after Hiranyaksha was killed, his relatives were lamenting. So then Hiranyakashipu began to pacify the relatives with very good Bhagavad Gita philosophy, explaining how we're not this body. So there was a conversation between Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha's relatives, nephews, mother, wife. And as part of that conversation, Hiranyakashipu told the story of this king Suyagya, who'd been killed on the battlefield, and his relatives, his wives, were lamenting. And in that situation, Yamaraj had appeared as a boy and began speaking philosophy. So that's another, so you have Yamaraj as a boy speaking to the relatives of King Suyagya, which was part of another narrative, which was part of another conversation, which was part of another conversation. So really kind of, fascinating how just elaborate, the Srimad Bhagavatam is, conversations within conversations within conversations. And sometimes it's interesting to figure out exactly where a particular conversation is in terms of other conversations that it's part of. But the main thing, even if one can't figure all that out, one still gets the message, because the same message is being repeated in all of these, you know, different conversations, namely that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and one should surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's, you know, the message that's being repeated in different ways in all of the different conversations in Srimad Bhagavatam. In one way or another, it all leads to that. So I'll stop here. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu. So the question is, the conditioned soul has affection for gross and subtle matter, and can that be transformed into love of Krishna? And, you know, the answer is yes, because this affection that the soul feels for byproducts of the gross and subtle material energies is a transformation of the soul's original love for Krishna. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadi Kabunai Shravanadi Shuti Chitti Karya Udai. That love for Krishna is eternally there in the heart, but when it's expressed not in terms of its original object, Krishna, but is directed towards other things, then it's transformed into kama. So that kama can be transferred back into prema by the linking process of devotional service. So the conditioned soul has a subtle body made of mind, intelligence, and ego, false ego, ahankara. So ahankara, or false ego, is to think, I am this material body and everything I see is mine and it's meant for my enjoyment. The real ego is to think, I am the eternal servant of Krishna and everything is meant for Krishna's service. So one can, and that's the importance of hearing, you know, from Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, the great spiritual masters in the line of the disciplic succession, from the Shastras like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, they contain that message. As Lord Chaitanya said, Jivaras Rupahoi Krishnera Nitya Das. So, in terms of that energy of ego, if instead of thinking, I am this body, we adopt the position, I am Krishna's eternal servant, then we can engage the other energies. You know, then there's, you know, the intelligence. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, one who studies this sacred conversation worships me with his intelligence. So that means the intelligence, which is one of the subtle material energies, it can be engaged in Krishna's service. Normally, the materialists, they use their intelligence to try to figure out how to dominate, control, and exploit in the best possible way. And sometimes they're very successful at it. Like, you know, you have personalities like, you know, Mark Zuckerman, who made Facebook. You know, he had some intelligence sitting in his dorm room in Harvard University and made some program and caught on. And now he's a multi-billionaire. But that's not the success of life. Tesham sadhata yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam didami buddhi yogam tam yena mamupayanti te. Krishna says, the real success is that I give you spiritual intelligence by which you can come to me. And then our mind, Savai Mana Krishna Padar Vindayo, keep the mind focused on Krishna, Krishna's mission, Krishna's devotees. And then we have our gross physical body, which we can engage in, you know, Krishna's service. You know, Srila Prabhupada has made so many arrangements for us to be able to engage not just our minds, but our bodies in practical service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Vasprabhu?
Yeah, thank you for a very nice class, Srila Prabhupada. Mine is just kind of a, I'm just thinking when I'm hearing all of what you're just saying about the different conversations, it's almost surreal how to understand Hiranyakashipu, who's such a great demon, will kill his own son, but at the same time he has more transcendental knowledge than even like maybe a devotee does, one who's aspiring to, you know, be a devotee and serve and give their life. It's almost surreal to think of how is that possible. What is the storyline in terms of his transcendental knowledge and then his activity and behavior?
Well, of course, he's a special personality in the sense that he's a fallen servant of Lord Narayan, you know, from Vaikuntha. He's one of the gatekeepers of Vaikuntha. So deep down inside, there is that knowledge, and it seems like it comes out from time to time, but he's also under the influence of this curse that was allowed by Lord Narayan, because normally you can't curse somebody. Nobody can curse somebody to fall from Vaikuntha unless Krishna allows it. So Krishna allowed, you know, the curse to take effect, you know, the curse of the four Kumaras, and therefore he was also under the influence of that and was acting in a very demoniac way. But it seems that from time to time, you know, some transcendental knowledge was there.
What would be the message for us as conditioned souls? Because like you're speaking a very elevated level. I mean, for us to understand that particular point would be, you know, it's a pretty elevated understanding. So what's the message of this whole pastime in terms of us as conditioned souls? How do we relate to this in terms of our daily lives and how we should see things?
Which pastime?
Hiranyakashipu, especially now.
Well, we shouldn't be like Hiranyakashipu and his demoniac feature. You know, opposing Krishna, opposing, you know, trying to kill Krishna's devotees, trying to amass material success. Because, yeah, we'll see what happens to him. Okay, so it's getting late. Stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.